The ninth chapter of Hilchos Gzeila V'Aveda, the laws of robbery of stolen objects and of lost objects. This chapter contains 16 halachas and will deal with the law of stolen land. As we will see in this halacha, there is a basic difference between the case where there is a gzeila of forced and open theft of land as opposed to that of movable objects. In the case of a movable object which is stolen, the thief is responsible for any damage which is done to it, even should it be beyond his control. Unseen. However, in the case of karka, of land, it depends how the damage came to the land or the property, as we will see in this halacha. Perek Tshi, the ninth chapter, halacha Aleph. Someone stole land from his neighbor, and it was ruined. Kagain, for example, he dug holes in this field. They're all different size holes over here. Beires refers to round holes. Shichin refers to rectangular holes. And ma'ayres would be square ones. In any case, he ruined the landscape by digging these pits. Or he cut down the trees. Or he destroyed the wells. And destroyed the houses. In any of these cases, he is required to give him back the house or field as it was at the time it was stolen. He must fill in the holes and repair the turf and so on, just as it was at the time it was stolen. And if he cannot, or he can return the value of what it is that he ruined. He can determine the decrease in value of the field or the house and so on, what damage was done to it, and then pay him that difference. This is all when the thief himself ruined the house or the property. But if it was destroyed, it was ruined by itself. What does it mean by itself? That it was not an active purposeful act on the part of the thief. Kagain sheshat fanar. For example, it was swept away by the river, or was burned up with a fire which came from heaven. Not a fire which the thief started, but a fire which was beyond his control. If this was the case, that he did not intentionally ruin the property, the thief can tell the original owner, here it is, what belongs to you is right in front of you, I'll give you back the field. I stole the field, here you can have it back. I had the river overflowed its banks, and now it's ruined. Well, too bad. Shakarka b'cheskas b'ilim kayemes. Because the land still remains in the possession of the previous owner. Vein achrayes ha-hefseda alav. And the responsibility for any lack is not upon the thief. He is not responsible for the damage which is done because it is still in the possession of the original owner. Elim kain hefseid b'yade. Unless he himself caused the damage. Which is not the case with a movable object, as the Rambam explained previously in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, and other places. That by metaltaling movable objects, even if it was not his fault, he is still responsible for whatever damage is done. Halacha Beis. Gazal Sade v'nigz l'mimena. Let's say he stole a field. Reuben stole a field which belonged to Shimon. And it was stolen from him. It was stolen from Reuben. Reuben stole from Shimon. That was stolen from Reuben. And strong people came. Some non-Jews, authorized by the king, took the field away from him. So now the question is, that when it was taken away from the thief, is he responsible for it or not? In Halacha Aleph we learned that if he did it intentionally with his own hand, he is responsible to repay, to give back the damage to the field. However, if it was something which came from heaven, something which was beyond his control, then he is not responsible. What happened here? The king using the power of an authorization of the king, so Goyim took away the field. Is he responsible? So it depends. Imakas Medinahi, if it was something which affected the entire land, the entire country. Kagein shaloka hamelech sode sebatim shalkol anshei medina. For example, that the king took away the fields or the houses of everybody living in this country. In such a case, the thief can tell the original owner, here, the field's there, take it, it's yours, I don't have any problem with it. In other words, he's telling him that it is his problem. Since the Goslin was not directly responsible for what happened, it would have been taken away even had he not stolen the field. Therefore, he is not responsible to pay back the original owner. However, but if it was as a result of the Goslin stealing it, it was taken by the king. For example, the king is taking away all the possessions of this thief, anything which he is holding on to. In this case, if the thief hadn't have taken it, it wouldn't be taken away from by the king, only because it's now owned by the Goslin. Not owned technically, but within his possession. Only for that reason is the king taking it away. In that case, it's as if the Goslin himself caused damage to the field. And therefore, Chayev Lahamid Lay Sade Acheres. And therefore, he is responsible to provide another field for the original owner. Since it's his responsibility, it was his fault that the field was taken. And so too, Alacha Gimel, Onas HaMelech Es HaGoslin, if the king forced this thief, he told him, Hari Lano, Kol ma sheyesh lecha. Show us everything that you own, everything that you have. Behera saw the zusha gazel bechlal sadeisav, who not la melech, and he showed this stolen field together with the other fields that he owns. And when the king sees, he takes all of the fields, including the one that was stolen. Now, technically, he didn't have to show this field because it wasn't his; he stole it. And therefore, it still belongs to the previous owner. But since he showed it, it was taken away by the king. Should he not have shown it, the field wouldn't have been taken. Now that he showed the king the field as one of his fields, the king has taken it. So too in this case, Chayev Lahamid Lay Sade Acheres Kamesa. So he is again responsible to provide a similar field for the victim of the robbery, or else give the monetary value. Since if it was not for his theft, the field never would have been taken. To understand the next halacha, we need a little bit of background. Let us say Reuven has borrowed money from Shimon on the first of the month. Let us say the first of Iyar. Shimon knows that if Reuven does not pay back the money he has borrowed, then Shimon will be able to take back the value of the loan from the possessions of Reuven, these things that he owes. Let's say Reuven has no possessions. Well, let's say he has already sold his possessions. Let's say Reuven has borrowed $10,000 at the beginning of the month, and is supposed to pay back the 15th. Comes the 15th of the month, Shimon asks for his money. If he doesn't have it, he'll go back to Reuven, and maybe he'll take Reuven's house. Let's say Reuven has gotten smart, realizes he has no money to pay back, and he sells his house, and he gets some more money. He sells his house on the 10th of the month, and then he spends all the money. No problem. What does Reuven have to worry about? He has stolen money from Shimon. Because if Shimon wants to take money from him, doesn't have any money, he'll at least take his house. But he doesn't have his house anymore, he sold it. If he has possessions, actually, these possessions are known as bnei chayrin, things which are within the possession of the one that owes the money. Things he has sold already, however, are known as mishubadim. Although they are no longer in possession of Reuven, nevertheless, if Reuven had a debt from before, anything which he sold thereafter is mishubad, is subjugated to the loans he already has. Therefore, Shimon can go further, and he knows what possessions Reuven had at the time that he borrowed money. Anything which he owned then can be used to repay his loan, and therefore Shimon can go back to Levi, say, who has bought the house from Reuven, and he can take the house to use that as repayment for the loan. These are called nechasim meshubadim, that you can take even from the belongings which are meshubad, which are no longer in possession of the one who owes the money, but have been sold to someone else. The law is, however, it depends how the loan was taken out. There is a distinction between an oral loan and a written loan, one done with a document. If the loan was only done orally, you are only allowed to collect from Bnei Chayrin those things which he owns now. If it was a loan done with a document, you can not only collect with that he owns, but you can even collect the mishabadim. You can take the belongings, the house, for example, away from whoever bought it after the debt was incurred. The reason for this is given in the Gemara, that when something is done orally, ain't like kael, nobody finds out about it. It was an oral agreement. However, with a shtar, if it was done with a document, yesh la kael, everyone knows that this field is being sold, that there is this agreement, that the deal was made, that the money was owed. So when the third person comes in to buy buy the house, let's say, from Reuven, if Reuven and Shimon had only an oral agreement, how is Levi, who's buying the house from Reuven, how is he supposed to find out that Shimon is going to take his house later on? He has no way of finding that out. It was an oral agreement. And therefore, when Reuven comes to collect his debt, he can't go to Levi and take the house. He can only take from B'nai Chayrin, things which Reuven owns, rather than Mishabadim. However, if the deal between Reuven and Shimon was with a document, then Levi should have checked out before he bought the house. If Levi doesn't, since Yesh Lakeli is able to find out, people know about it, therefore, it is his responsibility and he loses, because if it is done with a shtar, you can collect even from Mishabodim. The question is, in our halacha, what happens in this debt now, that the gazlan stole a field, and he ruined the field and is responsible to pay? Can the one that owns the field collect only from B'nai Chayrin or even Mishabodim? Halacha dalet. Gazel sada vehipsida biyodei. Let's say he stole a field, someone stole a field, and he himself ruined it with his hands. He directly ruined it, as we discussed in Halacha Aleph. Kishabala sada gevest mei mashe hipsida gazlan. When the owner of the field comes to collect the value to compensate for what the thief damaged, he can only collect it from things b'nei chayrin, things what the thief owns now. This is exactly like an oral loan. Whoever bought something from this gazlan had no way of finding out that the gazlan owned the owner of this field money. And in that disrespect, it's like an oral agreement. However, ve'im amad ha'gazlan bedin. Let's say this thief was taken to judgment. V'nitzchayev l'shalim. And he was determined guilty that he must pay the money. And let's say after this happened already, the thief sold to someone else. In this case, gave him a nechasim mishubadim. The original owner can collect even from mishubadim things which the thief has sold to someone else, as long as he sold it after the judgment was made. And why is that? Because in this case, it's exactly like a loan which is done with a document. This is something everybody knows about. And whoever bought from this thief should have checked out. He was already taken to court. It was already determined he must pay. And if he would have checked this out, he would have known that any day, the original owner of the field can come back and take away the field that he bought from the thief. Because whatever the thief owned, his mishubad is subjugated to the repayment of his debt, and therefore it can be collected even from mishubadim. Halacha hei. Gazal sadev ochel peiraseh. Let's say he stole a field and consumed the produce of the field. So naturally he must give the field back. What happens to the produce which is now lost? Meshalim kol ha-peiro sha'ochel min nechasim b'necheirin. He must repay all of the fruit which was consumed from his belongings, which are b'nei chayrim, which are now within his possession. As in the previous halacha, this is like a milva bal peh. Gozel v'hishbiach, let's say he stole the field, and the field now increased in value. Let's say he invested a certain amount of money, 100 dinar, let's say, in the field, and the field, as a result, has increased in value. Let's say it is now worth it was originally 1,000 dinar, he invested 100, now let's say it is worth even 1,150 dinar, as a result of his additional investment. Shomin lai v'yado al tachtena. So we make a calculation for him, and he is at the disadvantage. The thief is at the disadvantage. If the amount of increase in value is greater than the amount he spent to improve it, he takes back his investment only from the one who was robbed. So if he spent $100 to improve the field, and now it has increased in value $150, he is able to take back the $100 from the one who owns the original owner of the field. Since he put in that much investment, he built a fence around it or so on, but he spent $100, so he can get that $100 back from the original owner. If it has increased more than the value that he put into it, that's the shevach, then he cannot regain only what he actually spent. Let's say the amount he spent is greater than the increase in value. That he lost money in this case. He invested $100 to improve the field. But as a result of his investment, let's say he invested in fertilizer, but the crop still didn't grow. So he invested $100, and now it only increased in value $50. He does not get back from his investment except the amount that it has increased in value. So if he has invested $100 in fertilizer or something of the sort, and as a result of his investment, the field has increased in value only the value of 50, so the Hitzah is greater than the Shevach, he can get the 50 back from the Nigzel, from the one of the original owner. But since he is at the disadvantage, if the increase was greater, he gets back only his investment. If the investment is greater, he gets back only the increase. And in that case, he will lose the additional 50. However, this is only when the improvement was done by the thief. Let's say, halacha vav, gazel sadeh amachra, let's say the thief stole this field, and then he sold it to someone else. Bishbicha lekeach, the one that bought from the thief, put the improvements into it. In this case, if the increase is greater than the investment, he is allowed to take his investment from the original owner of the field, just as the thief himself was able to do, as we saw the last halacha. But the cost which he paid for the field, together with the increase in price as a result of his investment, both of these things he takes from the thief. The keren he gets back because the thief sold him this field. And now it was taken away from him. He gets back the price from the thief. And in addition, even the increase, let's say he invested $100 in the field, and the field increased in price $150. So now it is originally $1,000, now it's worth $1,150. The $100 he invested, he gets from the original owner, who he's giving the field back to. The cost of the field, he gets back from the thief. And the increase in value, the additional $50 as a result of his investment, he also gets back from the thief. Now, how is he allowed to collect from the thief? The actual value of the field he can collect even from mishubodim, even from fields which the thief has sold to other people after, of course, the one that bought the stolen field has bought it. Since normally when you sell a field, a shtar is made, a document is made, and normally the document says that he has bought it with achrayis, that should someone come to take the field back from him, he can come back and collect from any other belongings which were sold by the seller. So in this case, well, let's say Reuven had a field, Shimon sold it, stole it, and sold it to Levi. And later on he sold another field to Yehuda. In this case, Reuven now comes to take his field back from Levi. So Levi lost his field. He's now going to take his money back from Shimon. If Shimon doesn't have any money, he doesn't have any belongings at hand, he can go to this Yehuda, where the Yehuda bought a field from Shimon. So this field of Shimon's really is subjugated, is meshubad to the house or the field that Levi bought from Shimon, and therefore Levi can take the field away from Yehuda. Of course, later on Yehuda can take Shimon to court for his money. However, the cat and the main amount of the field which Levi has now lost when Reuven took his field back, he can take even from the Shubadim of Shimon. But the amount of increase in the field, which we mentioned in the previous halacha, he can only take from things which belong to Shimon right now. Let's say he knew that the field was stolen when he bought it. Levi knew that Shimon had stolen the field. In that case, he is only allowed to take the value of the field itself from the thief, from Shimon. And he loses whatever increase there was in value of the field above his investment. The investment, of course, he gets back from the owner of the field. But whatever increase in price there was, he loses, since he recognized from the beginning that it was a stolen field. Let's say, his investment was more than the increase in price. He invested $100 in the field, but it only increased in price 50. In this case, regardless of whether or not he knew that it was a stolen field, He gets nothing from his investment except the increase in price of the field of 50. Neitle me balasada. He can take that from the owner of the field. Since it increased in price 50, he can take it from the owner. Not the full price of his investment, but at least that much he can take. Neitle keren min gazlan min nechosim mishubadim. And he can take the main price of the field from the thief, from the nechosim mishubadim, as we explained in the beginning of this halacha. In Halacha Hey, we mentioned what happens when the thief ate up the fruit of the field, that he must pay back the value from Bnei Chayrin. What happens if the thief sold to someone else, and that person that bought the field ate up the fruit? Halacha Ches. Hagezel Sadeh Machra, someone stole a field. Shimon stole a field, and he sold it to Levi, say, V'achal Lekeach Pereseh, and Levi, who bought the field, has consumed the fruit. And now Reuven comes to take his field back. Machashvin alav kol ha-perish ha-achal. He must figure out the total amount, the value of the fruit that was eaten. Umashalin lebal asada. And he must pay back the owner of the field. But then v'chezir v'geva eisa min ha-gazlan min ha-chosim b'nei chayrin. And then he can go back and take the value of the fruit, which he had to anyway pay back to the owner of the field, and can collect it from b'nei chayrin, from objects or possessions which are still owned by Shimon. Just as in the previous halacha, the keren he can take even from mishubadim. And the shevach, the increase in price, he takes from the b'nei chayrin. In this case, the value of the fruit also he can take from of Bnei Chayrin. However, this is only if he did not know the field was stolen when he took it, when he bought it. If the buyer knew that it was stolen at the time that he bought it, he does not get any money to compensate for the price of the fruit back from the thief. And he can only collect from the thief the keren, the value of the field itself. And the value of the fruit, which he does have to give back to the original owner, he cannot recover these costs from the thief, since he recognized from the beginning that it was a stolen field. The thief was not responsible for the value of the fruit. Someone who sells a field which does not belong to him, the sale is invalid, and the buyer, the one that is bought from the thief, has not officially obtained any possession over it, as we have explained in this perek and in the previous perek. So in this case, Shimon has stolen the field which belongs to Reuven, and then Shimon sells it to Levi. Levi has no schus, no right to this field. Later on, Reuven can take the field back from Levi, who is now in possession of it, and he does not have to give Levi anything, since it is karka, it is land. Later on, Levi can go back to Shimon and ask him for money, but the field goes back to Reuven. However, let's say Chazar Agazlan Acher Shemachra. The thief, after he has sold it to the buyer, so Shimon has sold it to Levi, Shimon goes back to Reuven and pays for the field. He says, he does tshuva and he wants to buy it now. He pays him money. The question is now, who does the field belong to? Has Shimon bought it, and he must simply return money to Levi? Or does Levi now own it? And the sale, now that Shimon has taken away Reuven's connection with the field, does the original sale that Shimon sold to Levi, does that become a valid sale? Niskaima biyada lekeach min agazlin. The law is that the field will go into the possession of the one who bought from the thief. In other words, the field itself goes to Levi, because the sages have determined that, as the Rambam says at the end of the halacha, that the reason Shimon went to give Reuven the money is to preserve his reputation, that Levi should always believe, and people will see, that when Shimon sells something, or even gives it as a gift, that it is something that belongs to him, not something which is stolen. And even if the thief gave it away as a gift when it was stolen, so it wasn't that Levi bought it from Shimon, but Shimon gave it to Levi. Even in such a case, kiven shechazer v'lokcha, since Shimon has gone back and bought the field from Reuven, niskaima biyadzeh shekibel amatana. the field remains in the possession, or it really goes into the possession of the one who received the gift. Because this is the reason why the thief exerted so much effort in order to buy it from the original owner, in order to preserve his reputation, in order that he should be believed when he gives something away or that he sells something. This is the whole reason we determine why he paid Reuben for the field, in order that the Levi should be able to hold on to the field and his reputation should be preserved. Yud, lefichach, and therefore, im tova lekeach es hagazlan, if the buyer takes out a claim against the thief, Levi takes out a claim against Shimon. Because Shimon sold him a field which he does not own, and therefore Levi had to give the field back to Reuven, and now Shimon has to pay back the money to Levi. And the court determined that this is actually the case, that Shimon has to pay back Levi. But he didn't give him the money. So the court does the proper procedure. They make an announcement on the belongings of the thief, of Shimon's belongings, in order that they should be sold, and the money will be used to pay back the buyer, to pay back Levi, since Shimon does not have enough money to pay him back. So his belongings will be sold, and this will be used to pay. And after the announcement has been made, somehow Shimon got a hold of some money, and now he bought the field back from Reuven, the field which he originally stole, now he bought legally from Reuven. Do we say, as we did in the previous halacha, that when he bought it from Reuven, it was in order to preserve his reputation, and therefore the field goes to the possession of Reuven, or is it simply a monetary case? The din is, lo niskama biyad lakeach. The field does not stand in the possession of the buyer, in the possession of Levi. Because once they have begun to make announcements on the belongings of the thief, it's already been revealed that he is not trustworthy. And he did not buy it from the original owners, in this case Reuven, in order that it should remain in the possession of Levi, because that would only be to preserve his trustworthiness. Since over here it's already been proven he can't be trusted, he's not reliable, this was not the reason. Evidently he's buying it simply in order to have this field back. Therefore, the field does not go to the possession of Levi. The next halacha will give us another case, that when the thief buys the field from the original owner, it is obvious that he is not doing so in order to preserve his reputation, and therefore also in such a case the field does not go over to the one that bought it from the thief. Halacha Yud Alef. Locha gazlin min habaylim. Achesha machra keshi gzula. The thief bought the field back from the original owners, after he has already sold it when it was stolen. So again, Shimon the thief sold it to Levi, and later on, Shimon goes back to Reuven and buys the field. As we mentioned in Halacha Tes, normally we assume he did so to preserve his reputation, and therefore the field itself goes to Levi. However, now he did an act to show that he's not doing it to preserve his reputation with Levi. Why? After he bought the field legally from Reuven, now, what did he do? He sold it to another person. He sold it to Yehuda, or he gave it as a gift to Yehuda, or he put it in part of an inheritance to someone else. In such a case, he has shown his intention that he does not want to preserve it in the possession of the one that bought it from him when it was stolen. He is not buying it from Reuven in order that Levi should retain ownership over it. Why? We know he does not intend such a thing because he sold it to someone else. Obviously, he's not doing it in order to give it back to Levi. And so too, if the thief did not buy it from Reuven, but rather he is someone that inherits Reuven's estate, and it came to him as part of the estate. So too in this case, lo niskaima biyad lekeach. So too in such a case, it does not go to the hands and the possession of the one that bought it from the thief, because there is no intentional act here, that the thief has shown that he wants it to go to the possession of the buyer. Why? Because he has not done anything. It has simply come to him without any effort of his own as a result of the inheritance. And therefore, this case, as in the case of in Halacha Yud, where the court makes their announcements, there's no indication that he wishes to have this field go to the possession of the one that bought it from him. And now another variation on how we determine the thief's intention when he gets the field legally from the one he stole it from originally. In our same case now of Reuven, the original owner, Shimon the thief, and Levi who bought it from Shimon, let's imagine now that Reuven owes Shimon money. Let's say the field that Shimon stole from Reuven was worth $1,000. But on the other hand, Reuven has a debt, and Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. And now Shimon says, I'll tell you what, I stole this field from you, give me the field, and we'll forget about the debt. Since Reuven anyway owes the Shimon $1,000, Shimon says, I'll take the field as repayment. Now the question is, why does he take the field as repayment? Is he doing it in order that the Levi, who he sold the field to, should still respect his reputation, as we mentioned in the Halacha Tes, or perhaps he's doing it just as a way of getting back his debt? Halacha Yud Beis. Gova ha-gazlin b'chayveh. Let's say the thief collects this field as a means of repayment for his loan after he has already stolen it. So now it depends. How do we look at this? Im yesh l'nigzl karka cheres. If the original one who was the owner, Reuven, doesn't only have this stolen piece of land, he has other land as well. And he had the choice of collecting from that other land. And the thief tells him, Shimon tells Reuven, Ani geiva b'chevi, I am going to collect my loan over here, I'm going to collect it from this land which I stole from you. Obviously, in this case, he intends to have this field go over to the possession of the one that bought it from him. Because otherwise, why is he taking from this field which he stole? He could take it from the other field. However, if the one he stole from, Reuven, has only this piece of land, in that case, it was in order to collect his loan that he intended. Because we have no proof over here that he is doing it in order to preserve his reputation with Levi, because perhaps he is just trying to get his money back. He's owed $1,000, so he took the field, and now he's going to accept the field as repayment for the loan. We have no proof he's doing it to preserve his reputation. Therefore, Reuven takes back the field from Levi, since Levi never had any right to it, as we said in the beginning of Halacha Tes, and then Shimon has now paid for it, the field goes to Shimon. Of course, he will have to compensate Levi for the amount he spends for the field. However, the field itself does not belong to him. And now another variation. Halacha Yud Gimel. Nosnua ha-baylin le-gazlin matona. Let's say, now, the thief has not bought it back from Reuven, and nor has it gone to him as repayment for a loan, and he has not taken it as inheritance, but the original owners gave it as a gift to Shimon. First, Shimon stole the field from Reuven, and then Shimon sold the stolen field to Levi. Now what happens? Reuven says, okay, Shimon, keep the field. I'm giving it to you as a gift. The question is now, is this like a Yerusha, that Shimon made no effort over here, therefore there is no intention that Shimon intended that it should stay in the possession of Levi, which seems to be the case, because he had nothing to do with this gift. Or do we say that perhaps Shimon did something in order to deserve this gift? The din is kana olekeach, that it goes to the possession of Levi. Why? Why should it go to Levi? The only reason we mentioned in Halacha Tes and Halacha Yud that it goes to the hand of the lekeach is because the original thief now has done an act which proves that he wants it to be in the possession of the buyer. But over here he received it as a gift. Why then should it go to the hand of Levi? She'il lo tarach labaylim lo hayu nesim lay b'matona. Because if it was not for some effort that the thief made and did something in, for Reuben, he would not have received it as a gift. And that is the reason he put so much effort into his relationship with Reuben, in order that he should legally gain control of this field. In order that he should preserve his reputation, and the field should remain in the hand of Levi. Or literally, that it should actually go into the hands of Levi, since Levi really had no schus in this field, since it was a stolen field. In other words, the Gemara tells us here, in the Rambam Paskins, in the Machlekes in Gemara, this is a Machlekes on how this gift is viewed. But the Rambam Paskins, that the gift never would have come in the first place unless Shimon had done something in order to elicit this gift. Since he put effort into it, then it is considered as if he has put in the effort, and he obviously was exerting this effort in order to preserve his reputation. Therefore, it goes into the hands of Levi. The last three halachas of the perek deal with the same case, that after the thief has stolen a field, he now goes back to the one who he stole it from and buys the field. However, here we have another worry. The thief is obviously a strong person, and the one who originally owned the field is afraid of him. After all, he could always turn him into the government and get him in some other sort of trouble. So when a known gazlan comes to give you an offer, would you like to sell your field, is actually a difficult offer to refuse. And let's say he should be forced to do so. In this case, even if there are witnesses, the deal is suspect. These halachas deal with what happens if there were witnesses that Reuben, in this case, the original owner, did sell the field to this known gazlan, Shimon. However, later on he claims that he did so under duress. He was afraid and was threatened by Shimon what would happen to him if he didn't sell the field, and therefore he's trying to nullify the sale. And over here, there's a difference between what the witnesses actually see. First of all, they saw a sale take place. Did they see the money actually exchange? Or could it be that that Reuben is so afraid of Shimon that not only he's being forced to say that he sold the field, but maybe he's also being forced to say that he received money. Maybe Shimon never gave him a penny, but under the threat, Reuben is afraid to say that really, although Shimon claims that he gave him money, and for that Reuben gave him the field, maybe he didn't give him any money altogether. Halacha Yudalit. Someone that stole a field, Shimon stole from Reuven, and after he stole it, and it was already proven to be a gazlan, he went back to buy it from the original owners. And after this happened, the one who was robbed, Reuven claims, he says, I was forced at the time I sold it to him. I did not want to sell it to him. Machmas gazlan nusay. As a result of his being a thief, I was afraid of him, and I didn't want to sell it to him. So now, who do we believe here? We have, even though Rather Amram's going to say we have witnesses, nevertheless, the sale is no good. Leizocha gazlan. The thief does not have any right to this field. Alfal pisha yesh la edim shalachu bifneim. Even though he has witnesses for this sale, and the witnesses say we saw Reuven sell it to Shimon. He has no right to the field. The field is returned to the original owners. And you give back the thief the money which he gave. That, as the Rambam will explain in Tazayin, normally such a claim wouldn't work unless the seller, Reuven, took the witnesses aside beforehand and warned them that he is being forced to sell this field. But in this case, he doesn't have to give such a warning or Mesiras Meidah, as we'll see in Halacha Tazayin. Because already, there is good reason to believe him, to say that he is afraid of this thief. He's a gazlan. He's already been proven to be a gazlan. Obviously, Reuven is going to be afraid of him. However, in this case, we'll see in the next halacha, the only reason Shimon, the chiddush of this halacha, is that the Shimon does not get the field. That although there are witnesses to the sale, nevertheless, the field returns to Reuven, and the Reuven gives back Shimon the money. However, as we mentioned in our introduction to these halachas, there's another problem here. Who says Shimon gave Reuven the money altogether? Maybe he just took the field, put witnesses over there, and the witnesses say, heard Reuven say that yes, he gave me money, but maybe Reuven is also saying this out of fear. Halacha Tesvav. V'med varim amurim, when does this apply? and that in the last halacha we said that in spite of the fact that the field goes back to Reuven, that the money goes back to Shimon, that Reuven gives back money to Shimon. When does this apply that Reuven gives back money to Shimon? When the witnesses testify that the money was counted there in front of them, they themselves saw the money being handed over. They saw Shimon pull out money, and they saw the money being counted, and they saw how much money there is, and they saw it going to the hands of Reuven. In that case, although there is no proof that Reuven wanted to sell the field because he could be doing it under duress, at least there is proof that he received money. And therefore, the field goes back to Reuven, but the money goes back to Shimon because the whole sale is invalid. But the only reason Shimon gets this money is not because we believe Shimon that he gave money. It's because the witnesses saw the money. But if their only testimony is that the original owner, Reuven, sold the field to Shimon, and he only admits in front of the witnesses that he gave, that Shimon gave him such and such an amount of money, and so therefore they didn't see the money change hands. They only heard Reuven admit that the money changed hands. However, later on, the one that was robbed, Reuven, claims that Shimon never gave him a penny. Why then did he admit in front of witnesses that he did receive money? It's because the result of his fear of Shimon. That's why he admitted, that's why he said that he received money. In this case, not only did the field go back to Reuven, but Ein Lagazlin Klum. Shimon doesn't get a penny back from the money. Because maybe there was no money. We take the field away from Shimon, give it back to Reuven, and Shimon doesn't get any money whatsoever. Because the only reason Reuven agreed and told the witnesses that he received money was because of his fear, just as he claims. And the reason we believe Reuven in such a case, because Shimon has been proven to be a thief, a gazlin, a violent robber regarding this field, therefore Reuven's claim is a sensible one and we believe him. Halacha Tes Zayin. This deals now, as we mentioned previously, with the law of Mesiras Meidah. If someone is afraid of a certain person that he's forcing him into a deal he does not want to get into, he is allowed to go to the witnesses beforehand and tell them, listen, witnesses, I'm going to say that I'm selling him the field, but you should know I'm doing so under duress, and I really have no intention of doing so, but I am afraid of him, and therefore I must cooperate. Later on, you'll testify for me that I didn't really want to sell it. And so too in a case of marriage, a divorce, there are other cases of Mesiras Meidah. This process is known as Meidah, notification, a declaration of duress, the declaration made to the witnesses. Halacha Tes Zayin. Ein Baal Asad Tzarech Lases Meidah Al Mecher Zeh. In this case, this specific case, Reuven, the owner of the field, does not have to be Meiser Meidah. He does not have to give a notification to the witnesses on such a sale. But even though in general the Gemara says he must make such a notification, in this case he must not. He nevertheless is believed even without the notification. Why in this case is it different? Hayil V'huch Zegzeh Gazlin Asad Ezu. Since this person, Shimon, has been proven to be a thief on this field. And Ve'ein Rayoso Bar Raya. And whatever proof Shimon will bring us that it is his field, that he legally bought the field, is not a valid proof. Because whatever witness he's going to have or a document, this document also we assume he was forced into giving. So therefore, Ein Atzarech Limsar Meidah. Therefore, he does not have to make any such declaration. Vain din gazlan kadin ha eines chavera batola ese ashe yimkarle. The law of a gazlan in this case is not like the law of someone who forces his neighbor and literally hangs him up on a tree until he sells. Let's say we have another case and Yehuda wants to buy a field from Levi. Levi doesn't want to sell. So what happens? Yehuda ties up Levi, hangs him from a tree and says, now do you want to sell? So Levi says, I want, and then he sells. As the Gemara says, tell you of a zavin, zvina, zvina. If someone is hung until he agrees to sell, at least he agreed and therefore it's a valid sale. In such a case, we don't believe Levi to say he's forced unless he was Meiser Meidah. Shazel Aina is the one that forced Levi. Aina writes a legzel. He doesn't want to steal it. He wants to give him money. V'lei gozlo adayin klum. He never stole anything. Lefichachim lei moser ha-mecher ha-einas Meidah. If the one that was forced to sell does not give a notification to the witnesses, the deal is valid. It is a valid sale. He must be Meishir Meidah. Otherwise, we have no proof that he sold it by force. He agreed to sell it, which is not the case in our case here of the Gazlan. Since he has proved to be a Gazlan, he does not have to be Meishir Meidah.